Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Well, as always, we'll be speaking to somebody from the Double Business Roundtable, and this time around, we'll be joined by Pastor Dawn Allen. Many of you have had a privilege of, you know, listening to him previously. He came here into our studios many years back, so we are delighted to have him back, even though this time around, he'll be speaking with us over the telephone. Pastor Dawn Allen will be talking about overcoming the pandemic of racism right after this break.
It's here. Radio Pulpit's new website is live. You can tune in at radiopulpit.co.za and enjoy crystal clear sound with just a click of a button, or listen to our podcasts. Discover biblical truths in our daily devotionals and let our stories of hope inspire you. You can download our app on this new look, easy to use platform. Find your favorite program, get to know our presenters, and so much more at radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You're at 657 AM. Radio with the truth in its voice.
14 after 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Pastor Dawn, good evening and welcome once again to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening. You and your visitor, your listeners.
It's been a long time indeed, eh?
Yeah, very long.
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Pastor Dawn. And how is the wife there?
Nah, she's doing well, thank you.
I understand that you are not based in Cape Town.
We in Amanas.
Is that around Cape Town? Was the Western Cape, right?
Yeah, we're about an hour and a half away from Cape Town.
Wow, so you've decided to retire there.
Yes.
I'm sure you're missing Gauteng, eh?
No, it's beautiful, The flowers are all out, all the fynbos, the proteas and all of that are now blooming.
Yeah.
So it's very beautiful, although
I know that you've got green fingers and you love your garden. If there is something that you love, is your garden. I know that when you left here, you left your garden in beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shape there. So I'm sure that when you got there, you did what you love doing there, your garden. Yeah, making sure that it resembles the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
I wish I can have a picture of your garden now, Pastor Dawn.
Yeah, pictures.
Well, you heard him, Pastor Dawn, all the way from Hermanus in the Western Cape, an hour and a half from the Cape Town there. And I wish that he also tuned in to our sister station in that part of the world, which is Cape Pulpit. We're talking now about overcoming the pandemic of racism, Pastor Dawn. If you can define racism to us, what is racism in your own opinion?
Well, the definitions are basically that it's, you know, people feeling superior and having prejudice and discrimination against others, against a particular racial or ethnic groups, or, you know, just the feeling that the distinct characteristics or abilities that some groups have, that you are superior to another group and others are inferior to you. And so that gives you the right to dominate them. That's basically what the definitions are of racism. And so we're faced with a very big challenge.
Yes.
As I see it, the world's in a very sorry state. There's all kinds of bias and pride and prejudice and envy, anger, hatred, and just to name a few. And so people are divided over class, over race, their national pride, their economic status, gender issues. And we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, is this the way that God intended it to be for us to live in this way? And the answer, of course, is an emphatic no.
So let's go to the word, because we are the believers. Obviously, you have to be different from the non-believers there. What is the word saying about this? If, for instance, I'm a believer, is it possible for you to become a believer and be a racist?
No. You know, my father always had a saying that two wrongs never make a right. And biblically, one sin cannot be covered by another. And so in my observation, as I look at people and I've watched people try to justify their actions, and instead of bringing unity, they create more of a divide by sinful attitudes and action, and they try to correct one wrong with another. And, you know, as we look at this thing, you know, the Bible speaks to it, you know, the whole issue about, and it's about attitude and actions that stem from those attitudes. And so time does not allow us to go into too much detail about it, because the call to become a Christian and to walk as a Christian is a call to walk along in a difficult journey.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. I thought maybe we lost you there. All right.
Yeah.
And yes. And let's go to the word itself, because I believe that as believers, we need to base everything on the word. We should be living by the word. What is the word basically saying about it? Do you have verses? Do you have incidents in the Bible where the whole issue was addressed?
I don't think to look at verses as such. I look at concepts and ideas and what the Bible is actually saying to how people ought to live in a different context. And so if we take a look at, the journey as a Christian, we are called to walk from an old way of living to a new. And this journey is not always, you know, some people think it's so easy and it's not a struggle. But the journey is sometimes messy, and it's a big struggle, and it needs the sincerity of humility, tolerance, confession, repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation, which all are spoken about very clearly in the scriptures. And so as Israel was to be a testimony to the other nations, revealing how a nation should be under the rule of God and how people should live under the rule of God, the church, in a similar sense, is the representation of God's kingdom on earth today. And unfortunately, we see that both have failed in glorifying God as the supreme ruler who delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness. That's found in Jeremiah 9:24. That is what God, that's the God we serve. He delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness. And the church must... they have the answer to the problem, and however, in some instances, the church have become part of the problem instead of the solution.
How so? How so?
Yeah. Oh, well, the divisions, we can come to that in a moment, but, you know, the journey that we start, it starts with a call, the biblical call to be born again. And to become, or in the process of becoming a new person, a new creation. In the one sense, we are a new person. That's our status in Christ. But the reality is that we are still moving in the direction of that status. And the journey, it starts with humility of acknowledging our sin, confessing that sin, repenting of that sin, and walking in faith that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again so that we can have a new life as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we will receive forgiveness and be reconciled to God. And then God brings us into the church, a fellowship of believers, where we can learn to live in unity and practice love. We remember what Jesus prayed and what he commanded. In John 17, he says, I pray that they will be one, just as we are one. And in John 13, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. Now, in the context, this was a very tall order. It was not something that comes naturally. And in the world in which these words were penned and written, and the commands given, it was a big challenge.
How do you think the church should be able to be in the forefront with regard to making sure that we love one another, we become united, and we show the world the good example of how we should be able to treat and live with each other? Do you think, by the way, but anyway, you mentioned there that some of these divisions come from the church itself. Now, tell us, how can the church be able to see to it that they are in the forefront, leading by the examples? He said in this way, our Savior said there, they shall know that you are my disciples when you love one another.
Yes. Now, that is the biggest evangelistic tool, that if we shall love one for another. But unfortunately, we know, whether it's in individual churches or church groups, churches have been divided doctrinally into denominations. There's also national and ethnic divisions of state churches and different groupings based on different beliefs, whether it's baptism or filled with the Spirit or different things. And we seem to find ways of dividing ourselves rather than uniting ourselves. And if we read in the scriptures in Galatians and in many other, and also Colossians, Paul says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ. And so we have to understand, you know, if you look at the, why I said it was a very difficult and a tall order, if you take a look at the context of the early church and the makeup of the early church, we have to understand that there was rich and poor, there were slaves from every nation, because the Romans would have, as they conquered different parts of the known world at that time, they would have brought slaves from that area, they would have brought them into the areas and the towns where Paul was preaching. And if so, we also have the Jew and the Gentile, and male and female. And between all of these groups, there was deep-based attitudes of superiority. And so the church, you know, people were far from a homogeneous group of people. But into that, they are called to have a sober judgment of their position. Paul talks about it in Romans. He says, in Romans 12, he says, you must think soberly. That means don't think of yourself as more important than any others. And there are many passages in Scripture that speak to that. You know, in Philippians, Jesus talks about consider others better than yourselves. And James talks about the disparity between the rich and the poor and how their attitudes have to be towards one another. So what Paul and the apostles are doing is trying to, with the basis of Christ being their example, and that they are to follow his example and not to think of themselves more highly than they ought, and to really seek to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. But this is not an easy task. And that is why we are brought into a church, because in community, that is where you can learn to live in unity. You cannot learn that by yourself. And it's also in the church where we can learn to love one another and be more tolerant towards one another, even those that we don't like. We are to get along with them, and we are to work with them, because they are fellow brothers and sisters. And so it's a struggle.
Maybe these scriptures are not taught, you know, well enough in our churches. Like now you're mentioning here something remarkable, that it might be a struggle for us to do so, simply because I believe that we love by faith. But if people hear this scriptures that you've been sharing over and over again, I believe then that it will become easier for them to understand that, yes, we might not like each other based on our characters, but that does not mean we should hate one another or discriminate against one another.
Yeah, we have called into a fellowship, and that means that mutual sharing of our lives together, our struggles. And Paul talks about also sharing one another's burdens, carrying your own burden. And so within the context of the church, it is like a family. And too many families today, you know, divorce is something that is quite easy because you don't like somebody, you say you don't love them anymore, so now you get rid of them. And the same thing happens in churches. We don't like this brother, we don't like this teaching or whatever. So instead of sorting it out and living together and tolerating one another, and you read it in Romans 14 and 15, where the weaker brother or the stronger brother, now we have to consider each other and to not create divisions, because Paul goes on in Romans 15 to talk about, you know, the people that cause divisions within the church. So they have nothing to do with them. Because God, in Proverbs, it says that's one of the things that he hates, people that cause conflict and division and sow discord. And so these are teachings that sometimes, you know, we fail to, we concentrate so much on doctrine and some of the other things that we forget about how we ought to be living as Christians.
Pastor Don, in closing, what can we say to somebody that is listening right now, the listener of Radio Pulpit or listeners of Radio Pulpit in general with regards to this pandemic, if we don't do anything about it as the church? What can happen also, if you can maybe share that thought with us?
Well, you know, if we will continue to discriminate, we will continue, if we don't learn to how to walk in step with the Spirit and display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, with showing love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc., then the world is, you know, the church, if the church is supposed to be the example and they are not, then what chance do we stand? And so the church has a very big task ahead of itself to treat one another better, and to preach the truth, and to speak into these situations. And
Pastor Don? Brother Don, Pastor Don, are you still there? Pastor Don? It looks like we lost Pastor Don there, but we did hear what he shared with us this evening about the whole issue of overcoming the pandemic of racism, and he's from the Global Business Roundtable and speaking to us all the way from Hermanus in the Western Cape. It's 7:30 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Up next, we'll be having Umfundis.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dudoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.